We've been studying in the book of Galatians, and last Sunday we did a study on being just, and this Sunday we want to look at faith. In Galatians 3:11, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith." This justification has to do with approval, not salvation. To be just means that you are not chargeable. And if you want to stand before the Lord unchargeable, you need to be just and you need to live by faith. What does it mean to be just? It means that you need to be obedient to His commandments. You cannot live in sin and expect to live by faith. Impossible. And so therefore, the just shall live by faith. This morning, I want to emphasize faith. And that is appropriate when we think about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, He died for the sins of the whole world. Salvation of mankind is based entirely upon the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether He rose from the dead or not. If it takes the resurrection from the dead to save man, then He was not a perfect sacrifice. It had to be something added to it. But His sacrifice on the cross was sufficient to save every man who would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But the resurrection from the dead is for believers. And we will see that as we read from Matthew chapter 28, verse 5. "And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear ye not, or fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, as He said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." And then the angel told them to go quickly in verse 7, "And tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead." Notice who the message was for. It was for His disciples, not the lost in Jerusalem or in Samaria or the uttermost parts of the earth. It was for His disciples. "And behold, He goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see Him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring His disciples word. And as they went to tell His disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail! And they came and held Him by His feet and worshipped Him. Then Jesus said unto them, Be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." The message of the resurrection is for the saved, who are brethren. And by the way, brethren are not just simply every person who is born from above, because the Bible or the New Testament defines brethren as those that are seeking to enter the kingdom. Okay? They are, it's more than just simply being saved. They have an appreciation of ruling and reigning with Christ and are seeking to enter the kingdom. We can't go into that this morning, but anyway, that's the significance of that. In Romans chapter 4, verse 25, we are reminded again that He was delivered for our offenses and He was raised again for our justification. Death on the cross for our sins, resurrection for justification, our approval. Without Jesus Christ at the right hand of God the Father, we have no one to talk to. You remember what Job said? Oh, that I had somebody that could go between me and God. Job didn't have a Goel. We do. His name is Jesus Christ. Now, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, it tells us that we are justified by faith. "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith of Christ, Notice, we believed in Jesus Christ. That's salvation. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's the first thing that needs to be done. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you might be justified by faith. And the reason why the word might is in there is because you might not be justified by faith. You can depart from the faith. You can make shipwreck of the faith. And so therefore, if you depart from the faith, in other words, what are you doing when you're in the faith? You're pleasing God. When you stop pleasing God, you start being chargeable. God doesn't like it when you quit pleasing Him. And so therefore, it is essential that we live by faith and not by the works of the law. In other words, if you've got a list of things that you do and don't do, God's not too impressed with our list. Of course, He is impressed with His list. Thou shalt have no other gods before Him. And the other parts of the Ten Commandments, they're significant. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for in Hebrews 11:1, and the evidence of things not seen. When I think about faith giving substance to things hoped for, what am I hoping for? I'm hoping to stand in His presence approved. I'm hoping to stand in His presence justified. No charges to be brought against me. So that I can hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Not a wicked and slothful servant. So, what is the evidence of my faith? Well, lifestyle. How do I show, or where is the evidence of my hope of standing in His presence approved? Well, the evidence is the way I live. Am I diligently seeking Him? Or am I like Adam and Eve who sinned in the garden and I'm hiding in the bushes? You know, when we sin against God, we hide in the bushes. But God knows where we are, just like Adam and Eve. And He knew what they had done. And you know what He did? He said, "What did you do?" Not that He didn't know what they had done, but He wanted them to confess unto Him what they had done. That's what confession of our sins is all about. So, now, the things not seen. Well, I have not been justified and I have not been approved yet. Why? Because I'm still in the race. And I can make shipwreck of the race or the faith tomorrow. But I'm encouraged not to because of His Word. Now, Hebrews 11:6 tells us the significance of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. What is part of the evidence of my faith? Diligently seeking the Lord. Diligently seeking God. That's not on Easter and Christmas. Like I was talking to someone during welcome this morning. They said, "Well, we were here last Easter." Well, come more often. And I know the situation. It's a long way from Greece or a long way from New England. We're glad to have some visitors here from a far country. Anyway, so we need to diligently seek Him, and we need to do it daily. And He will reward us for doing that. Now, one of the things that I want us to consider is the significance of faith. I know that when I had my back problem, when I had pericarditis, when I had chest pains and needed stents put in, you know what I was asking God to do? To heal me. You know? And He didn't do it the way like I wanted Him to do it. You know? Touch of the finger, nod of the head. That didn't happen. And when I read the scriptures in the New Testament about healing and so forth and so on, you know, it could cause disappointment and disillusionment because God didn't do what He was doing for those that He was ministering to here on the earth. And And that creates confusion to me. And I want to try to eliminate that confusion. Okay? That's what I want to do this morning, is to help us to understand what was going on in the Gospels and what's going on today. Because if we understand that, then our expectations will be tempered. With what? With the Word of God. Now, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 10, it says, "When he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." Verse 8, "Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons or devils. Freely have you received, freely give." You know what? There's no faith in here at all. Jesus gave them the power. They didn't have to have faith to get it. And he says, "You freely have received it, you freely give." Whenever they minister, whenever they raise somebody from the dead, you know what? That dead man didn't have any faith. Dead people don't have faith, do they? No. They don't even have a breath or a thought. And so these 12 apostles, they went out, they healed the sick, and they did it freely. They freely received the power, and they freely gave the deliverance. And faith was not the issue. Okay? Let's continue. What was the miracles for? Well, in John 3:2, it says that this is talking about Nicodemus. And he said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." The apostles, the Lord Jesus Christ, were confirmed to be men of God and that God was with them. In other words, they didn't have the New Testament to prove their position. In fact, the Septuagint wasn't readily available for everyone. And, of course, the Old Testament scrolls were not too easily obtainable either. They had them in the synagogues and they wouldn't let them out, probably. I'm not sure how that worked in those days, but anyway. But the miracles helped them to confirm that they were men and women, or men, excuse me, that were from God, or that God was with them. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, it tells us that he bore witnesses of who they were with signs, wonders, and miracles. In verse 3, it says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" The salvation referred to here is the kingdom of the heavens. That was what Jesus Christ first of all started teaching. Repent ye, for what? The kingdom of heavens is at hand. So the so great salvation is a distinction between the common salvation. Because the so great salvation was presented to save Jews, not the lost Jews. That's a message to saved people today even. So, and it was, that's what he was teaching at the beginning, and that message was confirmed unto us by them, that is, the apostles, his disciples, that heard him, literally heard him. God also bearing them witness. Who? The apostles and some of the disciples. How did he bear them witness? Both with signs and wonders, with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Now, it's interesting here, this word gifts is not really translated well. It should be distribution by the Holy Ghost according to His will. What does that mean is this: the abilities to do signs, wonders, and miracles were distributed by the Holy Spirit according to His will. Not that the apostles had the power to give the Holy Spirit to people, but the Holy Spirit gave sign gifts as He willed And of course the apostles and the, and some of the disciples had, you know, received that. Now, it's interesting to note in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this refers to those gifts that the Holy Spirit gave. For to one is given by the Spirit. Now I wanted that phrase in verse 8 so that you will know who is giving these gifts. It's the Holy Spirit that's doing the giving. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts, plural, more than one gift of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the works of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Now I want you to notice here that the Holy Spirit gave a gift called what? Faith. That was a gift. It was given. You didn't have to do anything for it. That's different today, which we will see in just a moment. But, and of course these were known as the signs of the apostles in chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. It says, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs, wonders, and mighty deeds. The signs of the apostles were the miracles, or the miracles that they were able to do. But now there's something interesting in the next chapter of in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. It says, charity or love never faileth, but where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Well, what this is telling us is this, or it's telling me, I'll put it that way, when the canon of the Scriptures are complete, there's no need for sign gifts to prove I'm a man of God. How do I prove I'm a man of God? By teaching the Word of God and standing for the principles and living according to its statutes and commandments. That's how I prove that I'm a man of God, is my lifestyle, my ministry, and the Word. That establishes me as a man of God. Not that I can raise the dead. And not many people, I don't know of a single person that's raising the dead today. I've never heard of a funeral being broken up by the resurrection of the dead. Well, there are people who claim to do other miracles. Well, the main thing is I want to please God, and I do know that some miracles are going to cease. Now, I'm not against God doing miracles because I know He does miracles, okay? But there are just not miracle workers like there was in the days of the apostles. Even Paul had trouble with the gift of healing. In 2 Timothy 4:20, it says, Trophimus I have left in Miletum sick. If Paul had the gift of healing, why didn't he heal him? Well, those gifts ceased. In fact, Paul told Timothy to medicate your infirmities. In 1 Timothy 5:23, drink no longer water. See, you're not supposed to drink any water. Now, that's not true in the sense that we need water, but apparently the water he was drinking didn't help his tummy. But what did Paul tell him? Use a little wine for thy stomach's sake. And thine often infirmities. Timothy had often infirmities, problems. So we medicate our infirmities. That's the way faith was yesterday. Now how is faith applied today? Well, in Luke chapter 17, presented that wrong. Yesterday's faith has to do with asking for faith. In Luke 17, verses 5 through 6, it says, And the apostle said unto the Lord, Increase our faith. And the Lord said, if he had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it shall obey you. Well, the last time I commanded the sycamine tree to jump in the lake, or jump in the river, you know what? It didn't command me. It didn't obey me. Does that mean I don't have faith as a grain of a mustard seed? Well, no, that's not the issue. The issue here was that the apostle says, you increase my faith. You give me the increase. And the Lord said, you don't need an increase. You've got the faith of a mustard seed. You can command the sycamine tree to be cast into the sea. And then this is another characteristic of faith back in the days of the Gospels. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 28, it says, Jesus said unto her, that is, the Canaanite woman, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that hour, very hour. Notice, the Lord said, even as you will. The Canaanite woman was calling the shots about the health of her daughter. In other words, she didn't say, not my will, but thine be done. She said, the Lord said, even as thou wilt. In Mark chapter 11, verse 24, the Lord said, wherefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Have you ever claimed that verse? I have. Did I get whatever soever I desired? Only once, when I prayed about my wife. I'm just kidding. I'm not kidding about that, because I did pray about her and our becoming one. And the Lord gave her to me, for which I'm appreciative. But the point is this. Whatsoever you desire. What is our lifestyle today? It's not whatsoever we desire. It's what? Whatsoever He desires. That's the difference between the faith in the Gospels and the faith that we live by today. And I want you to see the difference. Because in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and the hearing by the Word of God. How is faith today? Do we say, God, increase our faith? You know what the Lord's going to tell us? Romans 10, 17, son. Faith comes by the thing heard, and the thing heard will provide your faith. Get in the book. Don't ask me to increase your faith. Get in the book. And what should we be studying? Well, the Word of God. Well, what is the Word of God? Well, it's not the whole Bible. It's a specific part of the Bible. And it's defined in Luke chapter 8, verse 10. And he said, unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. The sower went forth to sow seed. What was he sowing? He was sowing the Word of God. What was the Word of God? The Word of God were the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens, or the kingdom of God. That has to do with ruling and reigning. That has to do with seeking ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So, when we study and when we listen to the preaching of the kingdom message, our faith is increased because it bolsters our hope. It gives substance to the things that we hope for. And because we need to produce the righteousness, the righteous acts, to qualify to rule and reign, the evidence is obedience. And so we need to do that. Part of this faith requires a catalyst. You know what a catalyst is? It's part of an experiment that causes the chemical reaction to take place, but is not consumed by the reaction of the chemical reaction. It's a catalyst. It's just there to make it work. But it doesn't go away. It is not consumed in the action. So love is the catalyst for faith. If there's no love, faith won't work. And we find that in Galatians 5:6. Faith which worketh by love. So in addition to faith today, we have to have love. I mean, if I have faith to cast mountains into the ocean and have not love, what have I accomplished? Well, I've just made it inconvenient for those who live on the mountain. That's all. Anyway. Obviously, if we don't have love, we won't be casting any mountains into the sea. Okay? Now, what does the resurrection of Jesus Christ and faith, what does it have to do with faith? Well, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 13, it says, "But if there be no resurrection from the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain or empty or a waste of time. And your faith is also a waste of time." If Jesus Christ was not raised from the dead, faith is null and void. It doesn't work. It's useless. "Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Saved, because He died on the cross for my salvation, but I'm not delivered from the bondage of my sin." And that takes faith. Faith in what? Faith in the shed blood. So if Christ isn't raised from the dead for my justification, then I will be chargeable. And so it is essential for me to please God to have Christ at the right hand of God the Father. If He's not there, I can't please God, and I can't be delivered from the bondage of sin in my life. That's why the high priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ is so significant. So, the resurrection and faith, it is essential. No resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, no faith. Saved, but servants to sin. Now, in 2 Thessalonians 1:3, Paul says, "We are bound to give thanks always to you, brethren, as it is meet or fit, because your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." Notice that faith grows. In other words, it's not stagnant. More faith, more hope, more evidence of that hope in your life. In other words, your life is in continual flux. You're changing all the time as you see the need, and you see the chinks in the armor. And Paul was admonishing them and encouraging them to continue to grow in the faith. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law." Now, most people apply this fruit of the Spirit as the Holy Spirit. I think that is an error. Why does the Holy Spirit need to have fruit of love and peace, joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness and faith? He's right there at the right hand of the Father. He's in no need of peace. He's in no need of long-suffering. But we need it. And so the Spirit that is referred to here is the Abba Spirit, found in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. "Because ye are sons," or actually ye are behaving like sons. In other words, you're not behaving like a kid, a child. You've grown up in the Lord. "God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." This is the Spirit that we have received. What is that Spirit? It's the ability to say, "Not my will, but thine be done." That's what the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated in the garden. He had the Spirit, the Abba Spirit. in Mark 14:36. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." Before the crucifixion, whatsoever ye desire, ye shall have. Jesus Christ changed that right there. It's no longer whatsoever you desire, you shall have, or what you will, or according to how much you want it, you got it. It's now Abba, Father. In John 15, the Lord said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." And I assure you, bearing the fruit of faith in your life is going to really please the Lord. So that you may be my disciples. One of the things that we all need to appreciate is what Job appreciated in Job 23, verse 13 and 14. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? What his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. You're his child, you're his property, he's allowed to do whatever he wants with you. And he will perform the thing that is appointed for you. And you know what we need to do? We need to learn to submit to that. David said, "My soul, wait in silence. Wait on the Lord and quit complaining. Quit murmuring. Things aren't like you want them. Hush." My soul, wait. In fact, the Hebrew says in silence, "Thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him." And then I want to close with Philippians chapter 4, where Paul tells those at Philippi as well as us today, be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Prayer, men ought always to pray and not to faint. A lot of people today don't get their prayers answered. They go off in a huff and say, "Well, we're just not going to ask you anything else." You think that, you think God's stuff, you know, is it ticks him off? No. He's still waiting for you to get back and get in the right frame of mind and get back into prayer. And we need to pray. But notice the supplication. I think supplication is the Abba spirit. Supplication is no murmuring. Supplication is saying, "I submit to your will." Because there's no healing or no answer in this verse to your request. We'll see that in just a moment. And we're to pray and in every prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. I think the thanksgiving here should be applied to all things are possible unto thee. Our God is powerful enough, and I know that He can do whatever He wants to do, and I am thankful that my God is in charge. And I can be thankful in knowing that knowledge. And we're to make our request known. And by the way, the word "made known" is in the present passive. We need to be passive, and we need to continually let Him know what our needs are, but be passive in His will being done. Because notice what it says in verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It doesn't say He will answer your prayer. He just says, I'll give you peace. I'll guard your heart. I'll guard your thoughts while I wait to do what I want to do. And so therefore, the faith that pleases God today is saying, Abba, Father. Not my will, but thine be done. And not saying, "Lord, whatsoever I desire, I get it. Now where is it?" That doesn't please God. So I hope this has helped you to appreciate the fact that when Jesus was ministering, He gave faith and He gave power without faith to men that needed it to prove that they were men of God. And that there were those in that day that were able to desire things and they got what they desired. But that's not so today. We need to be submitting to His will in our life. And if it means pain, we have it. Now we can quit drinking water, take a little wine for your infirmities. Nothing wrong with that. And just simply wait on the Lord to take care of your problem, and He will deliver you in due time. I'm just thankful that what the Lord told, what the Lord said in Job 42, I believe it is, and the Lord delivered the captivity of Job. You hurting? You're in a bad situation? You feel like you're in captivity? Oh, I can tell you, I have felt that way the last few months. I'm ready for a jailbreak. When it comes to pain, I don't like it. I want out of it. But you know what? That'll happen in due time. Even if it means going home to be with the Father. You know, when you go home to be with the Father, all the pain goes away. You're over cancer, and all your problems are over. You've been delivered from captivity. Well, the Lord has allowed me to stick around a little longer because He has some other things He wants me to do. And so, anyway, I hope this has encouraged you not to become discouraged that you don't get what you ask for because you're claiming those verses in the Gospels and they're not working. But you can claim Abba, Father, and it works every time. Father, I just pray that You'd bless the message to each of our hearts, and may we be strong in the faith and in the power of Your might. May we continue in Your grace. And Father, we just pray that You'd allow us to please You by continually seeking You and to bolster the substance that we're hoping for, and that our lives will change because of what we hope for. These things we ask and pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.